Our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. Listen now to the word of our Lord. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. In the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I have a pop quiz for you this morning. How much money do you think Americans lost to internet scams, online crime in the year 2020? Anybody have a guess? Would you believe $4.2 billion? Yes, a B, billion. And that's just in 1 year's time. Internet scams, as we know, are an increasing problem all over the world. So if I were to ask for a quick show of hands, how many of you have gotten an email or message on social media or maybe on your telephone that you suspected was a scam? I would guess almost everyone. Yeah. It's a pretty common occurrence, isn't it? Well, I read this, I thought, excellent story on a blog by the name of Now I Know, and it's by Dan Lewis that I'd like to share this blog with you today. It's about a potential internet scammer. A few years ago, a man from Utah named Ben Taylor got this Facebook message from a man named Joel Willie. Joel Willie was from Liberia. He was trying to run a type of scam which was called an advance fee scam. I think we've all heard about those. He was trying to convince Ben Taylor that he was in line to collect this large sum of money, like an inheritance or court settlement. But first he needed to pay a few small fees up front in order to claim the money. If Ben Taylor would help him pay the upfront money, Joel Willie vowed to split the other large amount with him. Well, Ben recognized right away that this was a scam, but he decided to play along just for fun. Ben has his own YouTube channel, and he thought it would be instructive to record all of his interactions with Joel so that he could teach his viewers how to spot these scams. Well, this is kind of where the story gets kind of good. Ben decided to turn the scam around. He claimed that he ran a photography business, and he would pay Joel to take some photos of African sunsets. To his surprise, Joel came through with some pretty good photos. So Ben did another little bit of a strange thing, I guess you would say. He bought Joel Willie, the scammer from Liberia, a new camera. He sent him the camera, asked him for more photos, and the photos that Joel sent back this time were definitely a better quality. So Joel also sent this enthusiastic message saying that he was committing himself to their new photography partnership. Well, now Ben had a situation on his hands, didn't he? He had told Joel he would pay him for good photos, right? Joel trusted him. So if Ben didn't come through, he would be guilty of running a scam himself. Thought, well, what should he do? Ben decided to print Joel's photos in a small booklet and advertise it for sale on his YouTube channel. He titled the booklet after a phrase Joel used in his emails, "By the grace of God." He only charged $8 for that booklet, and within a short time, he had sold $1,000 worth of booklets. Well, and this is where the story gets even a little better. Ben sent all the money to Joel on one condition, that he would donate half of it to a Liberian charity, and Joel gladly did exactly that. And now the best part of the story. In 2018, Ben Taylor traveled to Liberia to meet his new business partner, Joel Willie. The two men took more photos and published a second book, detailing the strange and wonderful story of their business partnership. Well, these two books have raised $90,000. Some of the money has gone to Joel Willie for all of his work that he's done, but the rest has gone to good works around in Liberia. It's been used to buy food for the hungry, to purchase Christmas care packages for children, and it also came in handy to save a local school. Isn't that a great ending, or maybe beginning to their story? It's a story with a happy ending for Ben Taylor, Joel Willie, and all the people whose lives have been impacted by the charitable giving from those photo books. So I think the title of their first book is so appropriate, "By the Grace of God." Because this story didn't really have to turn out this way, did it? It became a story of generosity, hope, and new beginnings by the grace of God. I want us to think about that theme for today. How can the grace of God change the ending to a story? Not just our story, but the story of all those we come in contact with. How many lives could be positively impacted if we chose grace as our first response to all the challenges in our lives? Grace, unearned, unmerited love and goodwill was really Jesus' first response to all those around him. Even if it looked like some tough love sometimes. And it's not like Jesus was surrounded by this crazed fan club that was surrounding him. He had plenty of people who wanted to trip him up, challenge him, humiliate him, and even kill him. So he understood really how difficult this teaching was for us. Listen again to Jesus' words for us today. "But I say to you that listen." There's another sermon there. "But I say to you that listen." Are we listening? "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold you even your own shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. If anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." Jesus isn't calling us to a very easy task here, is he? Back, Pastor David Luce has a great perspective on this teaching. He writes this: "Jesus isn't offering a set of simple rules by which to get by or to get ahead in this world, but is inviting us into this whole other world. A world that is not about measuring and counting and weighing and competing and judging and paying back and hating and all the rest. But instead, it's about love. love for those who have loved you, love for those who haven't, love even for those who have hated you, he says. I think we can understand all of Jesus' teachings better when we view them as an invitation into this whole other world. Because our world is all about what? Measuring and counting and weighing and competing and judging and paying back and hating and all the rest. And we see the results of that way of life. Jesus wants to set us free from that way of thinking, you see, that way of living our lives. Instead, I think Jesus makes things kind of simple for us. He takes us, takes away all of our options, doesn't he? Hate, judgment, retaliation, revenge. You see, those are no longer options for followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus leaves us with only one choice. What is it? Thank you. That was our music for today. Love. So what would this kind of love look like in real life? How could it change? How could it change our life story? I think the first thing we learn from this passage is that Jesus calls us to this courageous kind of love. In May 2021, a sixth grade girl walked into her middle school in Rigby, Idaho, pulled a handgun out of her backpack, began shooting into the school hallway. I think it's probably a parent's and a child's first or worst nightmare to have something like that happen in their schools. Math teacher Krista Knighting rushed her class to safety. Then she went out into the hall to help out a wounded student. And that's when she saw the shooter. In an interview with ABC News, Knighting said this. She said, "It was a little girl, and my brain couldn't quite grasp that. I just knew that when I saw that gun, I had to get the gun." So Knighting approached the girl, began talking to her. She slowly moved removed that gun from the girl's hands, and then she wrapped her arms around that shooter and hugged her until the police came. As Knighting said, "I just kept hugging her and loving her and trying to let her know that we're going to get through this together." Krista Knighting's courageous love changed the ending to that story. She probably stopped the girl from hurting or killing any more students. But she also turned a moment of violence and trauma into an opportunity for radical and courageous love. In doing so, she inspired all those who witnessed her courage, all those who would hear her story. You see, for followers of Jesus, hate, judgment, retaliation, revenge, all those options are off the table. Instead, Jesus calls us to respond to our enemies with this courageous love. I think the second thing that we learn here from this passage is that Jesus calls us to a generous love. Maybe that's the hardest, I don't know. Love is the engine that drives generosity, isn't it? Generosity is risky, of course. There is no guarantee that your giving will result in any benefit to you. But Jesus didn't give to get anything in return. He gave because his love for us compelled him to. Chuck Collins is a great-grandson of Oscar Mayer, the German immigrant who founded a meat company worth many millions of dollars. I'll pause a second so you can get the Oscar Mayer Wiener song out of your head. "I wish that we were an Oscar Mayer." No, okay. But Chuck Collins was set to inherit a fortune when he became an adult, but instead he did something that will shock probably many of us. He chose to give his money away. All of it. Collins was inspired to give away his fortune by the tenants of a mobile home park. Yes, mobile home park. The owner of the land in which the park was on was going to sell it, and so all the tenants would have to move, and the only way that they could keep their community was to raise $35,000 to buy the land from the current owner. Or Collins considered giving them the money to buy the land, but before he could actually do that, the tenants banded together, raised the money by themselves. Those who couldn't afford to pay anything didn't have to worry. The neighbors who could afford it covered costs for them. All those tenants got to remain in the park. The tenants' generosity changed the course of Chuck Collins' life. He said this, "It made me think, I want some of what they have. What they have is a community that stands up for each other, and that's in, and they're all in for each other. That's the kind of world," he said, "I want to live in." Today, Chuck Collins is a best-selling author, lecturer, senior scholar at the Institute for Public Studies in Washington, D.C. And he goes on to say, "That's the kind of world I want to live in." He says, "Don't you think that's the kind of world Jesus wants for us too? That's what the kingdom of God looks like," he says. "Hate divides, generosity unites, hate creates division, generosity creates community, hate oppresses, generosity overcomes." Jesus calls us to a courageous love. And Jesus calls us to a generous love. Final thing we learn from this passage is that Jesus calls us to an unconditional love. I learned something interesting a while back. Did you know that the fictional Klingon language from Star Trek has no words for love? No words for love. Of course, these Klingon creatures were creatures of pure logic. Not any emotion. So the closest words for love in their language were honor or unhate. I think that would be fairly easy for us if we could define love simply as unhating others. But God doesn't really let us define love. God doesn't even let us decide who is worthy of our love. Listen to Jesus' words from our Bible passage today. "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. That's the standard of love that defines a follower of Jesus Christ. It is unconditional love that inspired Jesus to offer his life as a sacrifice for all of us, isn't it? Even when we didn't deserve it. So the only option we have as followers of Jesus is to love others, all others, with the same unconditional, sacrificial love. One last story. George Wallace served as governor of Alabama from 1962 to 1987. In that time, he was known for his support of racist Jim Crow laws and his opposition to integration, equality for black citizens. In 1972, George Wallace was shot, paralyzed in a failed assassination attempt. Well, he was taken by surprise when he received a visit in the hospital from Shirley Chisholm, the first black congresswoman. Wallace was a staunch opponent of Chisholm. Well, he asked her what her people would say about her visiting him in the hospital. This is how Chisholm replied. She said, I know what they're going to say, but I wouldn't want what happened to you to happen to anyone. Her words brought George Wallace to tears. A couple years later, Shirley Chisholm was fighting for minimum wage for domestic workers. George Wallace approached his colleagues and advocated for her legislation, and it passed. We all like stories with happy endings. But look through the history of humanity, and sadly you will see a story of hatred, violence, suffering, injustice. You see, it didn't begin that way. And it doesn't have to end that way. And Jesus, God invited us into this whole new world, the kingdom of God. How do we create that kingdom here on earth? Well, by following Jesus' example and living with a courageous love, generous love, unconditional love. In this way, we can change the ending to the story by the grace of God. Amen.